From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 15th day of November 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Atchison, Kansas. And a bit later in the program, University of Illinois ag economist Scott Irwin will be here to take up the RFS, the United States Environmental Protection Agency. At 1 p.m. this afternoon, released a brand new volumetric RFS standard. Scott will be here to discuss it and the potential implications for the renewable fuels, biodiesel, and corn-based ethanol during this edition of the Closing Market Report. And as we finish up, we'll talk with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey about the agricultural weather forecast. And it all comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Let's take a look now at the changes in Chicago for this Friday afternoon. Settlement prices are in. The soft red winter wheat finished the December contract at 644.5, down a quarter. July at 655.75, down 3.5 cents. July hard red at $6.90.75, down 6. December corn at 422, 4.5 lower. The March at 430.5, down 6. And the May at 438.5, 6.5 lower. July corn at 445.75, down 6.5, and December of next year at 459.75, down 6.75. January soybeans, $12.80.5, down 33 cents. The March at 1265.75, 31.75 lower. May futures, 1250.25, down 30, and July at 1245, 30.75 lower. November beans, $11.53.5 for next year, down 23.5 cents. Bean meal at 410.50, down $14.10. Bean oil at 40.47, finished 50 cents lower. Live cattle futures in the December at 133.40, 42.5 higher. February at 134.80, up 27.5. November feeders at 165.15, 12.5 cents higher. And January futures at 165.80, 2.5, up 62.5 cents. December lean hogs, $85.90, up 30. And the February futures, 47.5 cents higher at $90.27.5. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business. So Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's take a look at the outside markets as they finished up at this hour. December crude oil for the day at $93.74. That finished 2 cents lower. The wholesale price, or RBOB, for gasoline at $2.65.07. Down 2.6 cents for the afternoon. And the ethanol futures trading December at 177.3, finished 0.5 cents lower. The difference between the two, or the spread between the ethanol and the RBOB at 88.4 cents, is 2.1 cents narrower at this hour than it was on yesterday afternoon. Natural gas at $3.65.8, up 5.3 cents. Diesel fuel, 0.8 cents higher at $2.93.9. And gold futures on the day at $1,287.47. An ounce, finished $1.10 higher for the afternoon. The U.S. dollar trading at 80.84. That's down 0.17 for the day.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Or rather, here's what the weather forecast looks like at this hour. Scattered showers this afternoon, a few sprinkles, mostly cloudy, high of 52. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 43. Saturday, a 50% chance of rainfall. That'll come after the noon hour, mostly cloudy and 62. It'll be breezy tomorrow between 13 and 22 miles an hour, gusting to 32 out of the south. And then tomorrow evening, showers, likely cloudy, a low of 56, breezy with a south wind at 22 miles an hour, gusting to 32. Sunday, showers and thunderstorms and 68 degrees. Sunday evening, 40% chance of rainfall, mostly cloudy and 40. And on Monday, sunny skies and a high near 45 degrees.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
It's a Friday afternoon. On the phone line for this 15th day of November is Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hello there again, Todd.
Hello to you. Let me read what US EPA has proposed at this point. The Environmental Protection Agency, just about an hour ago, released its proposal for the 2014 Renewable Fuel Standards Volumetric Requirements. For 2014, EPA is proposing to lower the conventional renewable fuel requirement for the statutory level of 14.4 billion gallons. To 13 billion gallons and cut the total RFS volumetric requirement from 18.15 to 15.21 billion gallons. I don't know whether you'll have much of a reaction at this point, but it sure does look like that most of the agricultural trade is not very happy.
Yeah, I think that most of this is emotional at this point, Todd, and certainly the market reaction was not happy. The ethanol RIN market dropped 30% between the early part of the day and the close. March ethanol dropped about 2.7% from its earlier highs, and the March bean oil dropped about 2% from its daily high, too. I will say that was the trade reaction, and there are some other private trade sources that came out with replies who are in the advanced biofuel industry, very displeased with what the decision or the recommendation, I should say, was the EPA made. But I would also say I went back and looked at the baseline projections from USDA, and that's where the rubber hits the road to me, because did they or did they not factor this in to the February baselines? And going forward, are we actually going to see an ethanol reduction on the supply-demand balance sheets? And I can say no, I don't think we are, because in their February baseline, they specifically put this projection reflects declining overall gasoline consumption in the U.S., which is mostly E10, infrastructural and other constraints on growth in E15, and the small size of the E85 market. And so what USDA did back in February was they had a 2013-14 ethanol number of 4.675 billion bushels of corn grind. We're now at 4.9 as of last week's report. We did 5 billion back in 2011. And next year on their baseline and in 2015 on their baseline, USDA actually only went up to 4.825. And so to me as an analyst, does this really impact 2014 grind, therefore the supply-demand balance sheet, and therefore the need for or no, not as much need for additional 2014 corn acres? And today's recommendation does not change that, in my opinion.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, I think last week it was, I talked to Darrell Good and about the numbers from the USDA report, and I asked him about ethanol changing or the export number changing, and he said, well, 100 million bushels on a 1.8 carryout really is not going to make a difference one way or the other, and I think this is exactly where you came in at. There might be an 80 million bushel change in the numbers you came through, but it's just not enough to have much of a reaction, maybe, but you never know how the trade's going to perceive
things. Yeah, that's exactly right. We're in a trade mindset right now where it goes back to what we talked about on Commodity Week and on the closing market report last week, is that the futures versus the cash market has still a huge divergence in it. It's a sentiment, momentum, fund-led futures market, whereas the cash market is completely different, and we're going to probably stick with that type of philosophy because of today's announcement until you get those technical buy signals in the momentum indicators and some of the more important oscillators that, you know, maybe the funds are now following. They don't see any reason to have to let off the gas of trying to press the market lower here in the short term because of today's recommendation by EPA. Does that mean you go out and sell a bunch of cash corn? No, I think the basis is going to improve pretty nicely, especially in the central part of the Corn Belt and especially in the western part of the Corn Belt as we get towards the end of the month. And I say that because I still think there's a declining supply out west that we probably have to pull corn from Illinois and Indiana over into Iowa and Minnesota to meet profitable ethanol makers. And I think that's what it really boils down to at the end of the day now that we've got this EPA thing out of the way. Are the ethanol people making money? And if they are, they can go over the E10 blend wall if consumption goes up above it because of lower gas prices.
And will they?
I think they will. I think that, I mean, that's what the ADM CEO said. So, I mean, I'll just take her word for it that they're going to hit $14 billion. This year because they're still profitable. That's essentially what her, is the way I read it, was her news release earlier this week.
Okay, now turn your attention to other parts of the marketplace. Informa has some numbers out, but they really didn't change anything today.
No, I think it was most negative for the wheat market because I think we're getting that trend established where the wheat and the beans are taking away from the corn acres. And when they went from 57.7 all wheat acres in their prior release up to 58.1. That was a substantial increase. I don't think the trade had really factored that in, and you could kind of tell that in the new crop prices, the July futures seemed to take an extra special hit. So that was probably the biggest thing that I garnered from the Informa numbers, and now that we've got the ethanol EPA issue settled, we have to ask ourselves, is the 91.5 million acres going to be enough to keep carryover above $1.5 billion next year? That's where it goes back to the argumentation about the yield and the discussion about the yield. Is it going to be 150 or is it going to be 160? I think I'm getting to a point, and this is something I'll talk about in the seminars in great detail, I think we're getting to the point where we're getting like 95, 96, and 04 and 06, and maybe even 2009 to 2010, where you had a build-up stocks year because of a good supply. You built the demand market back up, though, and then the following year, and you had a problem with supplies, and you had a tighter supply come in, and the market had to react to that. I think that's kind of what you want to lay for, generally speaking, heading into this year, expecting that the demand will continue to get better and better. And some of the JBS numbers on their beef export projections we talked about this morning and some of the other big food companies are really looking for a much better world meat trade in 2014.
Hey, why don't you go through those seminars? I had somebody call and ask about them today. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about them and where they are and how they can make sure that they come and find you.
Yeah, all the specifics are on the website, globalanalytics.biz. We're going to have two on December 2nd, one in Lafayette, one in Monticello, and then we're going to have one in Jacksonville the very next day on the 3rd. And so we're going to be talking a lot about the demand market for 2014 and how to market it. We'll talk a lot about the meat consumption and how the meat's going to play a big role in the 2014 demand market. And we'll be talking a lot about the crop insurance as well. And we'll have some special guests there from Chicago and also from Wyffel's Hybrids.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Joins us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270. Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Well, you're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It's a Friday afternoon. The United States Environmental Protection Agency at 1 o'clock today changed the rules. Well, relatively speaking, they're thinking about changing the rules for the RFS, the Renewable Fuel Standards. We have on the phone line with us probably, well, not probably, the preeminent RFS and RINs specialist from the University of Illinois and maybe on the planet, Scott Irwin. He's an ag economist from here in Urbana-Champaign. Scott, thank you for taking the time with us. I do appreciate that. I know you've taken a look at what U.S. EPA has offered up and the way it's changing volumes and what they can expect in 2014. What's your quick assessment?
Well, the main takeaway is that the volumes that are proposed as the rules for 2014 are almost exactly the same as in the widely discussed leaked documents of several weeks ago.
And what would that do to the marketplace?
Well, what it does is two things. First, there's a write-down of the advanced component of the RFS down to 2.20 billion gallons from 3.75. In essence, what they have done is written down the advance mandate to basically the biodiesel mandate last year, and maybe a little bit more. But the really big kicker is that for the first time, they're proposing to write down the renewable mandate, which can basically be interpreted as the ethanol mandate, from 14.4 billion gallons down to 13 billion gallons. And those are the big ones. So the other thing that's interesting is that they not only say these are the proposed rules for 2014, but this establishes a new framework moving going forward. I like a sentence that's at the start of the proposal, and it reads like this. The proposal seeks to put the RFS program on a steady path forward, which means, you know, they're adopting this framework going forward, at least for 2014 and 2015. And if it goes forward as given, it will just, A, cap corn-based ethanol use in the U.S. at around 13 billion gallons, and the more dire consequences are actually for biodiesel.
Does U.S. EPA have congressional authority to make these changes?
That's the big question. I was able this afternoon to skim through their arguments, and it comes down to whether language in the original RFS that says the EPA has authority to waive volumes if there is inadequate domestic supply. And they have taken an expansive interpretation of the word supply to imply more than the capacity to produce biofuels. That term, Congress didn't put any limits on, so therefore it can be interpreted to include the ability to absorb volumes in the transportation and logistical sector and at the retail level. And some people said, I've heard it said, they've basically reinterpreted demand to be supply. And, you know, that's a legal question, whether that will hold in a court challenge or not. I think it's a foregone conclusion that that particular interpretation of the waiver standards will be challenged in court.
If it's put into actual rule, they have, what, 60 days?
They have 60 days, and what I like to tell people, at least in my experience, it doesn't mean that there can't be some small change, but in terms of any major changes to proposed rules, since the EPA has begun issuing RFS rules, to the best of my knowledge, they've never yet changed a single category in the RFS rules for a year as a result of the comment period. So I think the odds are very, very high that the volumes proposed will be the same after the comment period is over, and then they make their final determination of the rules sometime probably in early 2014.
But that would happen prior and be instituted prior to any time that a legal case could be put forward, I would think.
That would be a good question for a lawyer. I don't know if you can sue based on proposed rules or not, or if you have to wait for the final rules to be instituted and actually pass before you could file a suit. I don't know.
Yeah, so let's go back to what authority Congress gave U.S. EPA to change the energy policy of the United States, in this case, the renewable fuel standard. It did give it authority, I believe, to make changes if there was a serious supply problem that or a serious economic hurt that might be regional or nationally National. So, and they've been challenged on that part where livestock producers have said, hey, ethanol is chewing through so much corn that we're having a serious problem. Pilgrim's Pride in Texas managed to put that through, and US EPA said, no, we don't think that's right. But on this side of this proposal, they're looking at it differently. And I'm not sure whether I heard you correctly or not. I either heard you tell me that they were changing the rules, relatively speaking, or the way they looked at their ability to change the RFS, based on the total amount of biofuels and saying we can't meet that whole capacity, so we have the ability to change the rules, or that they were looking at the blend wall or the demand side, and I think this is what you were telling me, and saying, well, we can't physically put this many gallons of ethanol into the domestic gasoline supply because it's capped in some other form, that E10 blend, which is mostly put in place, I think, by just the fact that cars, for the most part, can't burn anything higher than that, or all cars anyway. And so which way is it?
Well, I think it's the latter, that they're interpreting supply to not be equivalent to production. So, in other words, we clearly have the capacity to produce the statutory volumes for ethanol. It's 14.4 billion gallons, different estimates, but if we ran our production capacity at flat out, we could probably exceed 15 billion gallons of ethanol production in the United States, if necessary.
But we don't have the ability to distribute that much.
Well, we actually have that ability to distribute it. What we don't have is the ability to absorb that much given total motor gasoline consumption in the U.S. today.
And they wouldn't go about it in the other way and saying...
Well, that's been the debate, is that, and this is what I believe is a major policy change for the EPA. Previously, they appeared to support, you know, getting around the E10 blend wall either through E85 or E15 through some kind of incentivizing of higher ethanol blends. But what they're arguing now is that in the short run, that those higher blends are simply not practical to get into the marketplace to absorb the statutory volume of ethanol. That's the argument. And therefore, we have a inadequate supply problem, with supply interpreted as an inability to absorb over 10% ethanol in our domestic gasoline supply chain.
Scott, thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
All right. I'm sure we'll have more to discuss on this as we go along.
Sure, we will. Thanks, Scott. Scott Irwin, professor of agricultural economics, specializing in renewable fuels and standards and the RINs, joining us here on the Closing Market Report. More in just a few moments.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408. Available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at agrigold.com.
The winter meeting season is just about to get underway, and the University of Illinois and U of I Extension have a series of programs that you should try to attend. They begin with the Ag Masters. That's December the 2nd and 3rd right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. It's sponsored by Crop Sciences and the department. It's a two-day event, Monday and Tuesday. You can register online. It's still available and open. Just search Google for Ag Masters, and University of Illinois. You'll find find all of the details on the website. It is a two-day event with classroom programming. Ag Masters at the University of Illinois, December 2nd and 3rd. The 2013 Illinois Farm Economics Summits that's sponsored by the Farm Doc team here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Those are the Ag Economists upstairs on the third floor of Mumford Hall. Begins the week of December the 16th. In fact, last all that week, they'll be in Champaign and Sycamore, Galesburg, Mount Vernon, and Bloomington. The Illinois Farm Economics Summits, Daryl Good, Gary Schnutke, Bruce Sherrick, Scott Irwin, Nick Paulson, and Jonathan Kappes, among others. They begin the 16th of December, that's Monday, in Champaign, Illinois, and then travel the state to Sycamore, Galesburg, Mount Vernon, and Bloomington on Friday. Speaking of making their way around the state, the extension specialist from Crop Sciences will do the same. That starts January the 6th, and registration is open for the Corn and Soybean Classic. It'll start in Champaign on Monday, and then the 7th in Mount Vernon, the 10th in Springfield. On the 13th, the following Monday, we'll be in Peoria, and the 14th in Moline, and on the 15th, they'll wrap up in Malta, Illinois, the Corn and Soybean Classic Series. It's a great winter meeting schedule for University of Illinois Extension, and I hope to see you at one of the conferences. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. This is the Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Don't forget to tune in to Commodity Week. You can hear it on our own radio station here at 6 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Saturday mornings, on other radio stations too, and of course online at willag.org. We're going to record at 3:30 this afternoon, so it should be up there well before 6 o'clock. WILLAG.org. Of course, we'll go all the way through what's been happening with the renewable fuel standards and U.S. EPA's announcement on Friday afternoon. Our panelists this week will include Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, Jason Clapp from Risk Management Commodities, Greg Johnson from the Andersons, and special guest Kevin Van Trump. He's with the Van Trump Report out of Raymore, Missouri. Here are the settlement prices on the week, and these are the weekly changes in the December corn. A high this week at 438, a low at 421.5. A settlement Friday to Friday change down 4.75 at $4.22. That in the lead option December. December at next year, 459.75, down 8.75. Soybeans this week had a high of $13.21.5. It's low 12.78. That contract settled $12.80.5 in the January, down 15.5 cents from Friday to Friday. November's change of next year, 7.5 cents lower at $11.53.5. December bean meal, the weekly change at $410.50, down $11.80. And December bean oil at $40.47. finished 23 cents lower. July soft red winter wheat at 655.75, off 12.75 on the week with a top of 675.5 and a bottom at 655. And July hard red at 720.75 finished down 12 cents. Live cattle finished the December with a weekly trade up a buck at 133.40. January feeders at 165.82.5 for $1.40 higher. And December lean hogs at $85.90. The change on the week, Friday to Friday, $2.22.5 lower. Now, here's an update of the weather forecast with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. This week was cold with temperatures 4 degrees below average. We also saw about 0.5 to 1 inch of snow in parts of the northern half of the state. And by the way, the normal or average snowfall for November is modest, ranging from 1 to 2 inches in far northern Illinois to around 1 inch in central Illinois, and approaches 0 in far southern Illinois. With the snow back in late October and this new snow, there are some sites across northern Illinois that have above normal snowfall for the season so far. According to the National Weather Service forecast, a strong low-pressure system will move across Illinois on Sunday. Ahead of this front, we can expect relatively warm, moist air. Highs on Saturday will range from the upper 50s in the northern Illinois to the 60s across the rest of the state. Lows on Sunday morning will be in the 50s. Highs on Sunday will range from the mid-60s in the north to the mid-70s in the south. However, the temperatures will drop rapidly down into the 30s as the cold front passes through on Sunday. There is a 60 to 70% chance of rain on both Saturday and Sunday. The expected rainfall totals over those 2 days could be in the 1/2 to 1 inch range, with thunderstorms possible. It will be cold and dry next week across most of Illinois, with highs in the 30s and 40s and lows in the 20s. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
And I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. That wraps up this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. Tune in for Commodity Week. Find it at willag.org.